Here's our series on aging in Portland. Retired or rewired? What it's like getting old in a youth-centered city. Are you up for that challenge? We'll bring you lots of views, but you'll have to answer this question for yourself. Is Portland a good place in which to grow old? Episode 10, Intergenerational Issues. This is the short version of a 30-minute show that you can hear in full on KBOO's website. Today we're talking with Donna Butts of Generations United. She talks about the bookends generations, the youngest and the oldest, and how they benefit from meeting up. Butts grew up in Oregon and graduated from Merrillhurst College.
Generations United was founded about 30 years ago to really elevate the need to connect children, youth, and older adults in intergenerational programs and policies and practices to improve the health and well-being of in communities and neighborhoods around the country, and really forge an agenda that values people at every age and stage of their life.
Do you think that older people are not valued properly in our society? Or?
I have a tendency to think that the bookend generations, our oldest and our youngest, are not valued in the way that they could and should be. Because when you think about ageism, people oftentimes think about older people. But in fact, younger people are often discriminated against because of their age as well.
Donna, you talk about intergenerational programs. What does that term mean, and what types of programs does it include?
Intergenerational programs intentionally bring people of at least two different generations together. It could be for arts and crafts, for theater, it could be in service to community, they might be involved in a recycling program or tutoring or mentoring another generation, it could be any number of different programs. And it's not really a multi-generational program, because you'll oftentimes hear about, a library or a museum where they have older and younger people that use the facility, but they never really come in contact with each other.
But who cares? Why not let these generations go their own ways? What's the benefit that you're getting to?
There are so many benefits when you bring generations together. There's benefits for the individuals, for families, and communities. For older adults, what we know is that they oftentimes have a larger social circle. They feel more optimistic. They feel like they have a purpose and a reason to get out of bed. They feel like they're needed. They take better care of themselves, rely less on canes. For young people, whether it's a baby that has that comfort of being held by an older adult, or a toddler, or a teenager, they again have a reason, a purpose, a mission. But for children who have been in intergenerational child care, for example, they are more patient, they have greater soft skills, they're more likely to say thank you, they're more likely to look at people who are different than they are and say that and ignore the fact that they're in a wheelchair or they have a disability and say that person is my friend or could be my friend. For communities, oftentimes if you can use a facility for multiple generations and for intergenerational services and programs, you don't have to maintain separate senior centers, teen centers, community centers, rec centers.
One of your partner programs and the partner for your 2019 conference here in Portland is a group called Bridge Meadows. Can you tell us what that organization is doing here?
We are so excited to be bringing our international conference to Portland, Oregon for the first time. Especially as an Oregonian, I'm thrilled. It's going to be in June 2019, and our partner is Bridge Meadows, which is an absolutely stellar example of an intergenerational community. They just opened their second facility in Beaverton, and they are a nationally recognized model. It is designed for older adults. There's older adult apartments, and they live side by side with foster and adoptive families. And the older adult's job is to care about the children, to care about the families, and to be the grandparents for that community.
Portland seems so advanced in so many ways, and I wonder whether it could position itself as a place with a high intergenerational vision.
Portland, we've always thought, has so many of the right things in place that it's just it's like at a tipping point that with a little bit more intentional effort and leadership and support from local leaders, it really could be Portland for all ages.
Donna Butts, Generations United, thanks for joining us on KBOO today. Thanks for what you do.
Thank you, Tom. I really enjoyed it. And we're looking forward to coming to Portland.
And here's Pauline Berkey, who came to Portland from Southern California to run the Metro Homeshare program.
Our program works to connect seniors who have housing and extra room in their homes with people who are looking for affordable rents. Because of our housing crisis, most of those clients on both sides tend to be seniors. Intergenerational living tends to happen naturally in older homeshare program. What we do is we build housing profiles on each client. So for our home providers, we are looking at what do they want from a housemate? What are the things that they need help with around the home? How much are they asking for rent? You know, are they comfortable living with a smoker, non-smoker, pets, no pets? And we build this profile on both of our clients. Then our database matches those people, and then it's up to them to decide whether or not they want to live together.
How do people get into your database?
So after they fill out an application, we have we screen them. So we screen every applicant that comes to our program, and then we do an intake.
You say you screen them. Do you do a background check of
some kind? We do a background check. So we do criminal, credit, and rental history. That's on both sides, both the home provider and the home seeker. We also do a home visit for the home provider to go out to the home and make sure it is safe, make sure that there is a room to rent. And then we have references that we call.
Do you charge a fee for this, Pauline?
For people who make $41,000 or less for a household of one, they don't pay any program fees. For people who make above that, there are program fees. We've categorized each home provider into three different categories. We have category one, which are people who need help with things around the home. They need about 20 hours or more of service, and they're not asking for any rent. Category two is a combination of rent and services. So these people are people who could use an extra $400 or $500 a month, but they're also having trouble with maybe it's transportation, maybe it's help with grocery shopping. Those rents average about $400 to about $550. And so you're going to have about 0 to 10 hours a week of service in that category too. So we call that our combination. That's where most of the homes are falling. Category three is people who are really struggling financially. They need the rent, the rent money. And so we're seeing about $500 to $600, sometimes $650. They're asking. They're not really asking for any service. They're pretty independent. But that financial piece is what's going to make or break them staying in there.
Do you have any interesting success stories you could tell us?
There have been people who, in the matches that we've made, they almost just lost hope. You know, I get calls from 70, 80-year-olds who are living in their cars. We can be reached at metrohomeshare.org. The home seeker and home provider applications are online.
Pauline, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom.
In the next episode, we'll be talking with Mike Waters, Director of Health Promotion at Timber Hill Athletic Club. You'll hear about the business of fitness for the elderly and exercise as medicine. We'll also learn about the city's recreation programs for the elderly. Don't miss it. You've been listening to our series on aging in Portland, retired or rewired. You can listen to any episode in this series or the entire series if you go to kboo.fm and look for the show under my name, Tom Flynn. Thanks for joining us today.